Welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Calabrese, former CPG founder turned executive who finally woke up one day, 16 years into my career, and decided to take back my power and build a community for women in CPG. Tune in as we break down strategies that successful female entrepreneurs are using to build their businesses and talk about what it's like to be a woman in a male-dominated industry. You'll hear stories of the people who make shit happen, overcoming struggles, and celebrating the wins. Whether you're looking for inspiration, industry secrets, or life-changing insights, this is the place. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. I have an amazing startup founder as my guest today. Her company is called Pistachio, and she really just breaks it down for us what it's like to be a startup founder, how she has built an amazing supportive community, how they launched at the farmers market and got incredible validation literally on the first day that they launched. That was the unlock moment where her and her partner decided that they had something and needed to move forward. And then she also really talks about what it's like to be in the trenches when you are a self-manufacturer. And, you know, the struggles that it takes to get your product out there, keeping up with the demand, making sure your D2C customers and your retailers are happy. So I loved chatting with Fran today, and I hope you enjoy the conversation. So without further ado, here it is. Francine Voigt, or Fran Voigt. How are you? Thank you for joining me.
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes, of course. I just love that you're joining me. I think I found you on Instagram and like immediately became obsessed with your brand and just had to chat with you. So I'm so glad we're having this conversation today.
Thank you so much. That is pretty much how the majority of people find us.
Yes. Yes. So good like that. So, all right, let's just get into it. My opening question for all my guests are, what are you currently hustling for, Fran? Tell us everything.
So I would say it's Pistachio because this has taken over my life completely. And right now we're kind of at the stage where we're making everything ourselves, but there's so much demand and it has been really hard for us to keep up with it because we're doing as much as we can. We go every single week to the kitchen to make 1,000 jars of Pistachio. And in the past, it was enough to like last us for a few weeks. Now we're sold out every single by the end of the week. So we're looking for like a co-manufacturer at the moment. And it's been really hard because there's very little of them. And so for us, it's something that we really need in order for us to scale and keep growing. And this is what we're working on right now. It's just finding that right one that can work with us.
Yeah. Yeah. You're mm-hmm. in it. You're in the trenches. I can hear. Yeah. Okay. So love that. How in the world did you get into Pistachio Spreads, Fran? Like, tell us your story. How did you start this business? Why did you want to start this business?
Okay, so it's a long story, but we'll go straight from like the past. I went to culinary school in Italy pretty much during the whole COVID year. So 2020, I was in culinary school until 2021. And when I went back to college, it was kind of like a gap year. So I went back to college for my junior year and Nico was there, my co-founder. And he was entering his capstone project. He grew up in Italy, so he was born and raised there. And he actually started a capstone project. I had just finished mine. He started one that was all about the metaverse because this is kind of when that was like coming up.
Ooh, love that.
And he started 5 weeks of like doing the research and everything. And then we went away for like winter vacation 2 years ago. And we were just talking about like what we can do that is outside of college. So once we graduate, like what are we going to get into? We were talking about all the projects that we had done in college that kind of just like fell off. So I had just finished my capstone project and it just kind of died there. And it kind of made us really sad because we were like, this is not something that we can take into the future. So what if there was something that we could take into the future?
Is your capstone project like your thesis? Is that what?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like your senior project that you like end school with.
You end with. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So we were talking about like doing something with food because I love food. Him from Italy also, like, obviously we love food. And we were always cooking at home and making like really delicious things. And we were always making things with pistachios. I was making like pistachio pizza, pistachio pasta, like pistachio desserts. For his birthday, I literally made everything with pistachios. So from breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Oh, love it.
And we had spoken about with him and actually another friend, we talked about like maybe one day having a food truck. And so the idea that came to our mind was like, what if we did a food truck that had just like every single dish centered around pistachios. So like, imagine it was like some eggs in the morning with some pistachio pesto or like a pizza with pistachios on it. And as we were talking about that, we were like, okay, but for his capstone project, we would need like $100,000 to buy a food truck. And like, you know, it would be a lot of work and a lot of money up front. And little did we know that CPG was no different, but in our mind, we were like, let's maybe make like a sauce. Yeah. So little did we know.
Right.
And we said, okay, so what if we made like the sauce that maybe was in that food truck and we just like started with that.
Yeah.
And so that was our idea. We went back to college for him to start his capstone project. And I kind of helped him through this whole process because I was already done with mine. And he obviously needed help because he was behind from his previous 5 weeks of research.
Yeah.
So I worked on the branding. I was actually entering a graphic design class and I like passed some prerequisites to do a packaging design class. So at this time we were kind of like working on like the ideation, the concept of like what we were building. He was kind of doing like the brand strategy and how we were going to market it and some research. And then he took a business class. So for one of those business classes, we had to do like a market research test. And we decided to go to the farmer's market. We reached out and there was like a community spotlight event that they do every week. So they kind of put you at the very front of the farmer's market and you can't sell anything. So it's just like testing out your idea, having like some prototypes. So the night before I made like 5 different pistachio spreads.
Yeah.
And I made 2 or 3 savory ones and then like 2 sweet ones. And our idea this whole time was like to come up with a savory pistachio spread because we thought, you know, if it was a food truck with maybe pistachio mayo, you can put it on like anything. Americans already love mayo.
Yeah.
Some of them do. It's kind of like, I guess it's not the best condiment for some people, but we thought it would be like a great way to like get people to connect with how you can use this product. So we brought up those condiments and sauces and everything. We brought them to the farmer's market and it was the first sunny day in like the entire winter. So there was about 300 people that came by our booth. We just had like a little sign that said Pistachio Pistachios Reimagined. And everybody came by and was like, how are you reimagining pistachios? Like, what is this? They would come up and be like, my son just ate like an entire bag of pistachios before this. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And everyone loved it so much. They were pulling out their wallets. They were ready to buy it. And we were like, these are just prototypes.
Yeah.
We don't have like a real product yet or anything.
Totally. And I mean, a test. Incredible.
Yeah.
Like such a amazing fast validation test, right?
Yeah, it was super validating. And like that was the moment that we just realized like we had something because people really wanted to buy it. And we just didn't know before that. I mean, we had our friends try it who loved it, but we didn't know how this would like react in the real market.
Yeah.
So after that, we kind of went all in. It was like the day that changed everything. And we were like, okay, let's build the brand. Let's make like a real product. Let's see which one people like the most. And so we went back and we went back with like, again, we were still kind of like testing the market. And we asked people like, what size jars do you want? Like, what would you want? Like a savory or a sweet? And like a lot of people just gave us the validation of like what we were going to do. And we took that feedback. And then I went into my packaging design class and I built the brand in like a month and then like about a month and a half later, we went back to the farmer's market every single week, every Saturday we would go until the day we graduated. And we were there on graduation day in our gowns the very last day. And then we had a lot of people
That's so cute. Oh my God.
Yeah. I love that. And we just had a lot of people like asking us, where am I going to get this? Like when you're gone, like you're graduating and everything. And we told them that we were going to work on making this a real thing. So we felt like we had a duty to fulfill.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And that summer we took a graduation trip. We went back home to Italy where Nico was from. And then we took a flight to Sicily from there to try and find pistachio farmers, pistachio producers, and just learn about the world of pistachios because they were already doing so many things there.
Yeah.
And so we went there and then we walked into a pistachio farm and production facility in the middle of Bronte, this tiny little town in Sicily. And we walked in and we were like, hi, there's these two kids that come in and they're like, hi, can you guys supply pistachios for us for this product that we have in mind? And and they actually became our first suppliers. They were super nice. They took us through the entire production. They showed us the best way to use pistachios. We asked them so many questions about how they're making their pistachio spreads, how they're doing everything. They showed us their first filling machine, and that's the one that we have now. So they were really, really nice. And then we started working with them for a few months until we realized that it was just too hard to keep working with them because of the lead time, the taxes, import fees, and everything. So we ended up trying some different ones from California, and they tasted exactly the same in our spread.
Right.
And so we were like, okay, let's move on with the California ones, even if we really wanted it to be from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
But so we came back from Sicily and we decided, let's move to Portland, Oregon. We wanted to move to the West Coast. And at first, our initial thought was let's go to San Francisco because there's just a big audience there. It's a little bit more open-minded. When we were in Savannah in college doing our research tests, we just noticed that a lot of people were pretty close-minded with this kind of product. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for Savannah and college students, the locals there, they didn't really understand it.
Right, right.
And so we thought the market West
wasn't
Coast.
Filled. Yeah, wasn't filled with your target audience. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we thought West Coast could be a little better. And then we found Portland very randomly. And we'd never been here before. And we decided this could be the place. There's a lot of small businesses that start here. Mm-hmm. A lot of scrappy small businesses too, which is kind of what drew us here. I mean, we saw some, San Francisco had a lot of more tech businesses and they were a little bit less bootstrapped. So we were like, okay, let's try Portland for a year and see what happens. And we moved here in August of 2023. Okay. And then we were looking for co-packers and all of a sudden, we ran into this small business association class and they told us, you shouldn't get a co-packer. You've never even made a product. What we were doing in college wasn't really legal.
Right. Yeah.
So they kind of urged us to take this course that was called Get Your Recipe to Market.
And oh, nice.
So we tried it. It was 10 weeks long. And at the end of the course was a pitch to one of the biggest retail buyers in Oregon. So New Seasons.
Okay.
And they have about 20 stores.
Oh, amazing. Yes. Yeah. With your New Seasons. Okay. I want to stop you there because I want to talk about how the farmers market, right?
Mm-hmm.
You literally validated your business with one trip to a farmer's market, with one sales session at a farmer's market, though you continually went back and you sold after that. But that is how you truly validated your product. Because I get a lot of questions from founders, and I work closely with brand new people to CPG that are looking to launch their brands. And I love the farmer's market strategy at the very beginning to validate the product. It's not I personally think it's not a sustainable long-term growth because there's just so much manual labor that goes into it. You can only scale so much, but it's just such a fantastic way to validate. So what were the things that you were looking out for when you started selling your product in the market that first day? What was the feedback that you were getting from people?
People at the very first day in the farmers market, it was a lot of people just saying I've never seen pistachios this way, or I love pistachios and I've never thought of this. This is genius. There are so many nut butters and nut milks that were having a moment, but nobody was doing anything with pistachios. So the moment people saw pistachios in a new light, they were just immediately intrigued. And then on top of that, right after they tried it, they were like, oh, this actually tastes like pistachios. Like, it's not some fake, like, artificially syrupy thing that a lot of times, like, people tend to associate with pistachios, because there's so many products out there that are filled with pistachio flavor or artificial flavors that are supposed to mimic, just because pistachios are expensive.
Yeah.
And so when people actually tried it and they got to taste the real flavor of pistachios, they were shocked. Yeah. And they, like, in their brains, they kind of, like, saw how creative they could get with this kind of product versus with just like an almond butter. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, drew us to actually launch it.
So you're offering like innovation and like just like this new way to get this really, to like consume this really cool ingredient.
Yeah.
I love that. Amazing.
Do you want to launch your food and beverage CPG brand, but just don't know where to start? Did you know that 70 to 80% of CPG brands fail within the first year? They lack a strategic go-to-market plan, they start without enough funding, and they don't have a clear path to sustainable growth. But don't worry, we've got you covered in Launch Lab Masterclass. We're gonna teach you how to launch, grow, and scale your brand the right way with a step-by-step launch roadmap, insider strategies for success, marketing and sales playbook, and funding and financial guidance. So the program starts March 17th, 2025, and it's limited to 15 founders. This is for you if you are a first-time founder in food and beverage CPG with an idea for a brand and you really need a playbook, or you're a founder in the early stages and you haven't yet nailed your go-to-market strategy. You could be navigating farmers markets or Shopify and you know that you want to venture into retail. This is for you. Or you're delving into formulation or contemplating a retail entrance, this also is for you. And lastly, you could be operational, but you're seeking to refine your go-to-market strategy. So in this masterclass, you're gonna get a step-by-step playbook of weekly guidance on how to launch your food and beverage CPG brand for 12 weeks. We're gonna have live recorded sessions. If you miss the session, you can go back and listen in 2 to 3 times a week with Q&A, milestones, and homework, real-time feedback on your business. And then we're gonna have expert-led workshops taught by myself and top industry experts on what works and what doesn't. You'll be part of an exclusive community, so you'll have access to the It's All Happening Slack channel, on a private channel just for the masterclass attendees, where you can connect with like-minded CPG enthusiasts who are also building businesses as well. You're gonna get templates for budgets, sales decks, investor decks, and more, just all to make things a whole lot easier. And most of all, you'll get tailored advice on brand marketing, R&D, supply chain, co-packer searches, distribution strategies. We're gonna cover it all. So starts March 17th through June 6th. You can keep figuring it out on your own, spending money without results and wasting time and energy. Or you can just join this masterclass to learn the fastest, most strategic way to build, scale, and succeed in food and beverage CPG. So in the show notes, there'll be a link on the landing page to sign up and learn more.
So, okay, so you've mentioned Nico, who's your co-founder. So Nico is also your partner in life as well too. Mm-hmm. What is it like to live and work with your business partner? Like, tell us about that.
So the best thing in the very beginning was that we are very much like opposite skill sets, which was super nice.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very helpful. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were still art school students. So like, obviously we're more of like the creative type, but within like the creative type, he was doing maybe like more brand strategy and I was executing and, you know, finding marketing points that we could actually go to, or like doing the graphic design of it versus like he would help with the conceptualization of it. So like, there was just a lot of things that like we were very compatible in the very beginning, and we were able to do so much and get so much done. Because we are also like very hardworking, and we, when we start something, we try to like see it to its full potential. So I think both of us just having that skill set and then having like opposing skill sets too is kind of like what brought the brand up.
Yeah.
In the very beginning.
Totally. Yeah. It's so important to have your business partner be like, the, you guys are like the yin and the yang. Isn't it amazing how much quicker you get things done as well.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, that's great that you guys complement each other. I love that. So talk to us about lessons learned. Like, okay, so you've been doing this since, you know, 2023, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's almost 2 years now, like what, year and a half or so. I mean, what have you learned? I can only imagine like all of the things that you have learned about CPG and product manufacturing and branding, et cetera. Like, what are the things that stand out to you that you're just like, oh my gosh, if I could do this differently, I would have done X, Y, and Z.
There are so many things. And I also don't feel like I would have, I mean, obviously you can say like you would have done some stuff differently and I probably would have, but I also feel like we learned so many lessons along the way by doing it the way that we've done it. And for example, like I had no idea how difficult and long of a process it is for like product manufacturing. Like it's half of your business. And we were just pretty naive in that sense that we didn't realize how much that's going to take up our lives and how much, you know, time and effort and manual labor that it is. We make everything ourselves. We pack everything ourselves. We label everything ourselves. So it's a really long process. And we're kind of naive about it and thinking like, yeah, we could keep doing this for as long as it takes. I would say also we have changed and pivoted so many times.
Yeah.
Like I said, we started with the savory pistachio spread.
Yeah.
And I guess this goes back to product manufacturing because it was way too hard to manufacture. And it would have been super expensive. We didn't have the capital to do it. And it was just a really long process and everything that we decided to pivot to the sweet spread. Mm-hmm. And we pivoted again when we did the sweet spread. We thought like, okay, we want to launch with glass jars because glass jars are way better and they just look nicer. They're better for the environment. And so we launched with glass jars. And every time we were shipping boxes out, they were breaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
Glass always seems like such, you know, like it makes it feel premium and luxury and like you can recycle it and reuse it. But then the reality of working with glass sinks in. So, and it's hard. We have a similar path. So when I was your age, I got into cold pressed juice and we were selling at the farmer's market. And, you know, the product became very popular very quickly. And we got very quickly overwhelmed with manufacturing and just like making the product 24/7, essentially. We were in glass jars. And like, we very quickly realized that that wasn't sustainable. And, you know, also being tied down to the manufacturing process as well takes you away from the growth process of the business, which is that's what you struggle with when you're making your product, right?
Yeah,
so tell us about what your plans are to grow your brand and how, you know, what the future looks like in the next year or couple of years on the manufacturing side. Like what to you, because that's such a thing that you're dealing with right now, right? So talk to us about that.
So it's very much out in the open right now because it could go either way. We could find a really good co-packer, which we've been looking for the past 6 months.
Yeah.
We could find the right co-packer that is able to produce for us and do everything that we want them to. And we can make enough jars to keep scaling and growing and going into more stores. Or we could keep self-manufacturing. It wouldn't be sustainable where we're doing it now just because there is one machine and we can only make like 1,000 jars in about 10 hours.
Yeah.
And so if we don't do it that way, then we would have to get a facility and we would have to hire people. We would probably try as much as we can to take it off of our hands and maybe hire like a manager or someone, a director of ops that can help us just do that whole process for us.
Yeah.
That would be the most ideal situation, but also it's a lot of upfront capital, which we still don't have. I mean, we're still completely bootstrapped. So we're trying our best to find the right co-packer.
Sure.
But if it doesn't work out, then we might have to go into our own facility, which wouldn't be the end of the world. But again, it's just a long process.
It's a process. It's a process for sure. So talk to me about like bootstrapping and funding and all that. Like, how are you guys like talk? I feel like we don't get to talk a lot about, people don't talk a lot about the ins and outs of the finances. Of the finances of how you're actually getting this product out there. So how are you guys funding this business? Like what does that look like for you?
a lot of brands, I mean, we noticed in the beginning that they tell us, even founders that tell us, like, you need to raise at least $1 million, $2 million to, like, get started. And mm-hmm. that's not what we did. I mean, we started in college. We both put in $1,000 in our own savings. And that was what we did to get the first round of ingredients and to start, like, producing in our dorm room and then selling in the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And then when we moved here, we, you know, we got a commercial kitchen and everything. We probably ended up putting in just about like $5,000 in total between mm-hmm. the two of us. And yeah. that was it. And it just kind of, we're as scrappy as possible. So like everything yeah. that we did from the beginning, I mean, even now we have people that are just really willing to help and help a small business. So we have like a photographer who was one of our friends in college who flew out here. It was actually our school that paid for it. And he flew out here and took some images of us and like the product and everything. So we did a lot of things kind of like, you know, behind the scenes that yeah. ended up being great for us, but we didn't have to put in too much money behind it. Now we are right. looking at, you know, getting some help on that side and getting investors just because sure. there's only so far that you can go, especially if we want to go into grocery stores like Whole Foods
yes.
and yeah. bigger ones. They obviously demand a lot of money up front. And
yeah.
so we did it as long as possible to be bootstrapped. And I think now is kind of like the point where if we do really want to scale, you can go, you know, the easy, slow route, which is, I mean, it's mm-hmm. not easy to be bootstrapped, but the slower yeah. route and just, you know, take it step by step and be strategic. So we've been working with a lot of small independent shops. And for example, that's yeah. one of the easiest ways for us to bring in some profit just because we're working with them directly through Fair. And
yeah,
we don't have to
great.
Go through any like slotting fees or anything like that. Versus mm-hmm. like, obviously, if we get a bigger distributor and we go to Whole Foods, then we will need that capital to get started. So
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Kind of depends on like the route that you want to take.
Yeah. Well, and I think it because of the fact that you guys started off on your own and didn't take any money from anybody, you've fully funded the business yourself and you've gone through the validation period of knowing that you have something, you figured out your product to market fit, like you've got your product and you're actively selling, you're selling online, you're in a couple amazing retailers. That is going to help really pave the way to open you up to investors that want to come in because they can now that you've gotten this far, they can come in and say, okay, yeah, they have something, they validated their product and here is, you know, funds to help them expand their growth essentially. So yeah, I think you've positioned yourself nicely.
Thank you. Yeah, that's also why we didn't want to look for investors in the very beginning, just because we knew our valuation would flop. I mean, if we didn't have anything,
yeah,
any stores, you know, any data to show that we are growing, we just were
exactly.
afraid on that side of like going to someone and then losing part of our business.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little scary, but I think like we're trying to do as much research as we can behind it.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It's the next step for our business.
It's the next step, mm-hmm. you know? And it's of course, it's going to be scary and intimidating, but it's what you need to do to grow. So I think you've held on for a long time and gotten to a great place. So you guys have a awesome social media presence. Talk to me about your Instagram and your social and marketing. Like what is working for you guys? What types of strategies have you used to, you know, like build your community and your audience?
So from the very beginning, this was actually like the Capstone project itself was a social strategy project. Mm-hmm. So yeah. it was like a social brand that was, you know, going to be built from the ground up through social media, through like community. And we knew that we would need this community, especially with people just loving pistachios, especially like mm-hmm. them having a moment right now and trending. We knew yes. that like this is where it's all going to start. And what we've done was just from the get-go, we started posting everything that we could, everything behind the scenes. You know, mm-hmm. when we were in college, we were asking people, which label do you want to see like on our packaging?
Yeah,
which like jars do you want to see? Yeah. So we were asking them from the beginning, like what they wanted to see from this brand. Right. And they yeah. almost felt like they were building it with us
mm-hmm.
because yep. every time we did something, it was from our audience telling us like, this is what you should do, or this is what you shouldn't do.
And making them a part of the process, right?
Yeah. So they've been a part of this journey from the very beginning. And I think that's how people got so connected with us.
Yes.
And then the first time, I mean, we made them wait, obviously, until we could actually start shipping. So the first time that we started shipping, people were so excited because it was an entirely new step in our journey. And people had seen us from the Savannah Farmers Market to actually shipping nationwide, to getting into more stores, to being an entrepreneur. And they just felt like they've been here from the very start. And a lot of them comment and be like, oh, I remember when you were just like a little baby business at the farmer's market versus now, like we've grown so much and they feel like a bigger part of it too.
Yes. Okay. So community building essentially is like, has been your most strategic move on social media.
Yeah. I also think it's just being authentic too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people try to hide. I mean, we obviously have had a lot of struggles and, you know, when we were first trying to build like our savory pistachio spread, we had first gotten here, we wrote like a love letter, like a note letter from us and saying like, we realize how hard this is and we're not sure if we're going to be able to build it anymore. And people were like, please keep going. Like we need to see it, you know, come to life.
Yeah.
And we were just being super vulnerable, which I think something that we're struggling with now in all transparency is that it's hard to be more vulnerable when there's more people watching you.
Yes. So like, yes.
So totally. In the beginning, we knew it was like all of our friends and, you know, some people that had seen us at the market, but now it's like more difficult to be more vulnerable.
Now you're
like,
in bigger retailers and you're trying to raise money and it's intimidating. I get it.
Yeah. But, we're going to try to, you know, continue doing that because we know that's what makes people feel like a part of it. I mean, we've had a lot of struggles recently and a lot of it, you know, we found a solution through social media. Our kitchen that we were producing in went on fire like last year.
Oh my gosh.
And so we went on social media and told people like what happened.
Yes. Wait, I think I saw this. Yes, I was watching your Instagram like in prep for our talk today. And I remember seeing this like, oh my gosh, like you went on a vacation, you came home and your kitchen was like toast.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And when we posted about it the day that it happened, we found a new kitchen that day because people posted, brands posted, responded to us, put it on their story. And they told us, hey, I have a slot like in my kitchen. And ended up like they ended up helping us just
so it
from
worked out
us
very
being
quickly.
Vulnerable. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Wow. Yeah. You've really like built a community of people that are engaged. So I love that. What is it like to work with New Seasons? Talk to us about that retail. Was that your first retailer?
They were we got into two retailers almost exactly the same time. It was both times in April. And it was them and Market of Choice. So Market of Choice has about 11 stores all around Oregon. And then New Seasons is all in Portland.
Yeah.
So they were the best to work with just because everyone was like super, super nice, super helpful. They were also like very open and, you know, willing to help us. And they work with a lot of small businesses.
Yeah.
So they've just been such a pleasure to work with. And from the beginning, we didn't have a distributor. So we would go and hand deliver to every single New Seasons, which was a long process. But when we finally got a distributor, it made the process a whole lot easier. And with Market of Choice, they were also really great because they have a whole program where, you know, they have stores all around Oregon, but they take all the shipments into one store. And that store is like the one that's very close to us. So all we have to do is go drop off there. And then they have like their own self-distributing sort of in-house program. So,
so do you have distribution?
Very easy to start. No, not yet.
Yeah.
We have a small like local distributor for New Seasons, but not for like West Coast or other stores outside of Oregon.
Okay. So what percentage of your business is D2C? And then what percentage is retail roughly?
Roughly, it's probably like 50-50 now. Honestly, 50-50. It might have been like, it might have been like higher D2C a few months ago, but we're in about 180 stores around the country now.
Yeah.
And it's just been like slowly growing and growing and on the rise. So right about now, it's probably 50-50. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay. So the future for the company, for the brand is growing your distribution and your retailers. That's how you're thinking about growth. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, part of our mission since the beginning was to make pistachios a pantry staple. Yeah. And obviously it's very hard to sustainably do that through online shopping. So we do hope to be in like more distributors, more retailers, more approachable retailers, and also specialty stores. But I think our main goal in the future is to be a more approachable pantry staple. So not like the super luxurious, expensive one that you find at the expensive Italian specialty store.
Right.
But also one that you could find at your local Kroger.
Totally. So, okay. Are you guys, okay. So you know, you mentioned bootstrapping, obviously. Do you have any contractors or any employees, any people that you're working with now, or are you and Nico doing everything yourselves?
We hired an intern about 7 weeks ago. So
okay. Congrats.
That was our first, that was our first hire, and that was super exciting. She's mostly taking care of like doing more demos for us. We're trying to increase our velocity in all of the stores that we're in because we're in all the new seasons, but it's been hard for us to, you know, be on top of everything. And so we try to do as many demos as we can, but it's also like a numbers game. And the more we can do, the more they start to sell in stores because people really need to try our product to believe in it.
Sure.
And so she's been doing a lot of demos and then helping with some outreach and trying to get us like some certifications like non-GMO and all of those things. So she's been really helpful with that. And that's our first hire.
Oh, great. And then do you have any contractors that you're working with at all?
No. We only have that one distributor. And just a few weeks ago, we hired somebody as like a freelance sort of like job to do our new SKU. So we want to do like a drawing of the Nono that we have on our current packaging. But I did that back in college and we wanted to get like a real illustrator to just get it out there and make it look just more like a whole brand identity that's coming together. So she created that and that was about it. Other than that, we haven't hired anybody. We haven't done any contractors.
So you guys are fully bootstrapped. I love it. So you recently went through a repackage, rebrand, right? Am I following that correctly? Okay, cool. So how has your package changed from when you first launched to where you are now? Like talk to us about like the evolution of the brand.
Yeah. So like I said, in the beginning we had glass jars and I mean, in the very beginning we had mason jars from Kroger that we bought.
Yeah.
But after that we had these glass jars that we got and I did the entire label and everything. And it was all kind of in a rush because this was at the point where we were switching from our savory to the sweet. And we had 2 weeks until we had this new season's pitch. So I kind of like rushed it and just, you know, put something out there. We didn't want to make it the same as the savory because at the time we thought we were going to do something with the savory again later on.
Yeah.
And so we went to this pitch from New Seasons and they tell us like, oh, this is great. Like you have your label here. It looks great. But where is your logo? Where is the brand name? And we were like, what? And then we realized, I realized that I hadn't put like pistachio on the label. So it used to say Nono's OG pistachio spread. And now it says pistachio spread because at the time I just completely, you know, missed the part. We were going to put like a sticker on top that said pistachio, but it ended up being too expensive. So that's kind of probably where my mind went.
Right.
And so we had to completely just change that. We put the logo on there finally. And then we didn't have a UPC code. So we had to put the UPC.
Right. So just commercializing.
So we were fixing that whole section. And then from there, we had all those jars breaking that were in glass. And we decided to make the switch to plastic jars. We just thought it would be just way easier. We were going to bring the cost down. So that was huge. We were able to bring the cost down in grocery stores and specialty stores on our website by $3. So that's we passed that on to everybody.
And
then we switched to the plastic jars and there might even be like more switches on the packaging. It's like constantly iterating. And we realized again, with like it being so in a rush, we didn't realize how it doesn't really stick out on the grocery store shelf. And so we are thinking about changing it to green.
Yeah.
That way it will stick
out. Another
a little
rebrand.
More. Yeah. Yep. So we'll probably try that again. Maybe next year. Might be like 2025 kind of thing, but but it might just help, you know, in stores to be able to find it more easily.
Yes, definitely important to be able mm-hmm. to like jump out on yeah. the shelf at you for sure. So thank you so much, Fran. I have a closing question for you. If you could give your younger, just starting out self advice, what would you give her?
So I think I would tell her that you shouldn't be afraid. Shouldn't be afraid of reaching out to people and asking for help. I'm very much like an independent person that likes to work solo, but people are so willing to help in this industry. And in the very beginning, we were really afraid that we were like the super small company. And I mean, we didn't even know that we were building a business in the very beginning. So we were just kind of doing the school project and we were afraid to ask like other founders, like what their process was and how they got started, like how they got all these licenses. Like we had so many people reach out to us about it. And then we realized, you know, people are willing to help, especially yes. like people yeah. that inspire you. Go just, you know, text them on LinkedIn, send them a message, find their email. And I'm sure that like a lot of people just, they want to be a helper and a mentor even. So I would tell her to do that mm-hmm. before getting, you know, in over your head and going into like a loophole and digging a hole for yourself.
Yeah. I love that. I always talk to people about that and like sort of reflect on that. Like every place I've ever gotten in my career and my life is because of networking
yeah.
and building community and reaching out to people and asking for help, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that's like such a good lesson and I couldn't agree with you more on that yeah. topic. So thank you so much for being with us today, Fran.
Thank you. This was amazing.
Yes. Talk to you later.
Bye. Talk soon.
If you liked what you heard, it would mean so much if you follow and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. For tips and advice on your food and beverage CPG brand, you can find us on Instagram at It's All Happening Co. or visit our website at itsallhappeningagency.co to be the first to hear about workshops, courses, and in-person events and freebies. Until next week.